This final chapel of Epiphany Week, we hear the familiar words of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 for our meditation. St. Paul writes by inspiration, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. It's been very sad to watch the images of homes and buildings burning out in California. Some of the wealthiest people in America have been having their properties reduced to nothing and burned to the ground. Some of the most exclusive neighborhoods in the Los Angeles area just turned to ashes. It's just strange to see people going down streets and seeing nothing but chimneys standing. One of the residents was being interviewed a night or so ago, and he said, "It took my life to build a mansion, and now I have nothing." It's kind of an interesting perspective on the wealth of this world and how quickly we can just be reduced to poverty. Everything he had been taken to ashes, and then he finally added in the interview, he said, "But at least I have my health." And he does, for a while, but that's going to be gone too. Possibly by a fire. 50% of California residents are cremated now and have their bodies ultimately reduced to ashes. When cremation takes place, they place your body actually in some type of either wooden structure or possibly cardboard structure. And sometimes if it's somebody that came from the hospital and there's no family, they'll even take the clothing that the hospital sent them in, a gown, off the body to ultimately put it into the crematorium and dispose of it. And it's just interesting that the same way that a homeless man might be disposed of like that out in California would possibly be the same exact way that some of the wealthiest residents would someday be disposed of. Right here in Minnesota, about an hour away from us, back 8 years ago, when Prince died, the great singer Prince, his estate was worth about $150 million. And the coroner, the woman who's the coroner in Carver County, probably put a label on his wrist or maybe a toe tag on his toe that was out of the same stockpile that she would use to put that on somebody who had died under a bridge as a homeless person. Death really is the ultimate equalizer of wealth and status in the world. And it's hard for us to do sometimes, but we do really have to face the reality that even though we have a lot in this life, and in our country especially, we still are poor. We still are impoverished when it really comes down to it. St. Paul said it this way, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out of it." Job put it even more starkly, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return." While we're here in this life, we get to enjoy a lot of nice stuff and a lot of good things, and that's fine. God gives us those blessings, and he has a lot to say about how we take care of them. But he also wants us to make sure to keep in mind how poor we are, how really stinking poor we are. Paul uses the expression wretched, that the reality of this life and all the garbage we can get and all the things we can do and have and all the experiences and all of that, it ultimately comes to an end, and really this life leaves us pretty impoverished. Absolutely wretched. There's a beautiful hymn that Martin Luther penned called "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice." And in that hymn, he says, "But God beheld my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercy great, he planned my soul's salvation." In the next verse, he says, that he turned to his son and sent him into this world for us. And that's really what Epiphany is about, to mark the fact that our gracious and loving God didn't just leave us in our poverty. He decided that his own son would leave his throne above. Talk about wealth. Talk about a place of luxury. That he would leave his heavenly throne and humble himself, lower himself down to become one of us, to work out the great plan of getting us someday into a place of true riches. Back in 1936, the King of England, Edward VIII, from the House of Windsor, abdicated his position and his throne. He gave up his throne because he wanted to marry someone that the English Parliament would not allow him to marry to ever be the Queen of England. And because of his great love for her, he decided to give up being king. And boy, a lot of people were shocked by that. And many people thought, what a beautiful act of romantic love that he showed to that woman. Well, he still got to live in wealth. Lived, I think, in the Bahamas somewhere. Think about what the Son of God gave up in heaven to come down and to live into this death-filled world and to be treated the way he was. Think of what the Son of God himself, how he humbled himself to come down into this world. Why? Because we're so poor, that's why. Because he wanted you to have more than a crematorium in your future. He wanted you to have more than just a grave in your future. And he wanted you to be able to know what real wealth is all about, what real luxury can really be like outside of this world. Paul says it so beautifully. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Don't miss those words, your sakes. That's the key words here, for your sakes. You might think, well, maybe not for me. No, for your sakes he became poor. This was for all people that this was done. To think that the highest and most exalted being of all would suddenly now squirm in the hay of an animal food trough on Christmas night. The Creator has come into the world as a creature, in fact, one of its lowliest creatures, in order to rescue us and to get us to someday be able to see what real riches are all about. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you might become rich. So in that text, St. Paul is taking the Christ child and he's got him all wrapped up, and through his word, he is putting him in your lap. And he's basically saying, you now understand why this has happened, because you have benefited, that this little boy is why you someday will get to enjoy heaven. He's come to bring you the full forgiveness of all of the things you've ever done wrong against God. He's come to give you the perfect, holy, spotless record you need to be led into heaven. And he's given you free entrance, just by his work, free entrance into that home. If you've ever played the game Monopoly with some kids, let's say, imagine if you would, a very, very wealthy man playing a game of Monopoly with his grandchildren. And they have all this pretend money in front of them. And suddenly he decides to take out his wallet and hand out real bills. And they suddenly now are using real, actual wealth and not just this print pretend money. Right now, you and I in this world, the wealth that this world can give us, it's just fake Monopoly money. It's pretend, because it all ultimately has to be put away, just like the game does someday. But your gracious Heavenly Father wants you to have true riches and true wealth that will last forever, beyond anything we could ever imagine in this life. And he, through his word and sacrament, through Christ, and through the faith he's created in your heart, has given you this treasure that is beyond anything this world will ever know. And in this life, by faith, we can appreciate that. We can appreciate what a stooping down this was for the Son of God to come into the world to do this for you. We can appreciate that, but think what it's going to be like when we actually go through the doors of heaven and get to be there for a few minutes and to see what it's really like and that this is going to last forever. Think how enormously our appreciation of that humiliation of Christ is going to grow when we finally get to see what it was all about. Live for that. Amen.